In the gap to right center field. That's going to be a tough play. A long run. No one's going to get it. This is going to score at least two. Graham scores. Bench scores. They're going to hold Leatherwood at third. It's a two-run double by Ben Van Cleve.
What's going on, guys? Fifth hour of the Sports Hour podcast coming up. Hey, Taylor, alongside the rest of the usual guys, Toby, Grady, Buzz, Chuck, and a special guest for us this week, the Swayze Silverback himself and the 2022 Ole Miss home run leader. I'm calling it right now, Ben Van Cleve. Ben, how you doing, bud?
I'm good. Glad to be here. Thank you all for having me on.
Oh, thank you for being with us. It's going to be a good episode. We're going to talk about a lot of Ole Miss baseball stuff, obviously. Talk a little bit of MLB lockout. But, guys, let's jump right into a game that I'm sure nobody's talking about, the Super Bowl coming up this weekend. I would assume that all of us are going to be tuned in for that one.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I cannot wait. I think it's going to be really fun. Like I said, just over the past couple of weeks, it's going to be one of the best Super Bowls in recent memory.
Yeah, it's good to see just different teams in it. I mean, the Rams were in a couple of years ago, but the Bengals, like, nobody saw it coming. So, like, I'm ready to see that.
Toby caught it last week where Joe Burrow's going to smoke two cigars this weekend. He's going to be sulking in his seat after losing the Super Bowl smoking those two cigars, I feel like. But we'll get into that later when we make our picks.
Nah, Joe Burrow's hanging at least 45 on the Rams this week. Aaron Donald doesn't get a sack. Ooh. It's going to be ridiculous.
Ben, any thoughts?
Hard to bet against Joe Burrow. Gets it done when he needs to get it done.
Yeah, it's going to be good to get regular football after the monstrosity that was the Pro Bowl. We were talking about that. I don't know if you guys didn't watch it. Pro Bowl under new rules this weekend. Two-hand touch. And despite all that, really just as bad as the game was, there was a lot of controversy after the game, too. Alvin Kamara getting arrested for battery. We talked about that a little bit earlier. And about as bad of a weekend as it could have went for the NFL.
Oh, yeah, I think so, too. I watched probably the first 20 minutes of the game, the first quarter and a little bit of the second quarter. And there was so many interceptions thrown. It was like Patrick Mahomes just didn't care. Like, nobody actually cared for it. And so as a viewer watching it, I looked at it like, I shouldn't care about this. And that's what happened.
They call the Las Vegas Rams Stadium, or not the Rams, but the Las Vegas Raiders, they call it the Black Hole. And I feel like for the NFL, it is the Black Hole. Every time a player goes out there, there seems like there's trouble with Kamara, with Henry Ruggs, with the defensive back guy, I don't know the name off the top of my head, with the Raiders, but there's always seemed to be trouble when these stars head out to Las Vegas, whether it be in just different scenarios, whether it be assault or different things. But
yeah, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. Doesn't work out for the Raiders. Pelicans are going there next, and Zion Williams, be careful, man.
Yeah, I believe the NFL should do what the Pro Bowl, and like, totally. Like, it's not good for the game. It's not a good representation of the great game that football is, and I feel like the Pro Bowl needs to go.
Yeah, I mean, when you play such a physical sport like football, it's not like the NBA All-Star game, the MLB All-Star game. I mean, these guys aren't going to put their bodies on the line. You don't have really anything to put behind it like an MLB. You play for home field advantage in the World Series. You know, you don't have that behind the stakes behind it. So you really just have a hard time getting these players' grip on it. A few years ago, it had gotten really competitive, but now it's just a shell of its former self.
You know, coming back to that, I actually really like the skills challenge. I watched a little bit of the skills challenge. It was really fun, and I think all they need to do is just have that. Make it just an open skills competition, and you don't really have to even play a game.
No, I think you're exactly right. I mean, I think that'd be good for the league. They're not wanting to obviously receive his help. That'd be a perfect way to do it.
I actually saw somebody on Twitter just a couple days ago. I was reading on that said that the NFL, instead of having the Pro Bowl, they should just do what the NBA does and released first team, second team, third team. And that should be it. That's your best players from the league. Just show it. Just put it on a screen and let's...
I like how the NBA sort of ramped up their intensity by each quarter or each period that the NBA has, you play for a charity. And if you win that quarter, a certain amount of money is donated to that charity. So maybe the NFL could implement something like that.
Well, the NFL did do that. So certain things that you did this year, so if you had an interception, I think you had $5,000 added to your charity. So, like, they were just kind of chucking things and not really saying that this is true, but it looked like Patrick Mahomes was throwing it to guys just to let them build up kind of some money. And they were kind of implemented that a little bit. I think if you had a touchdown, you got $10,000. So they did something like that, but it didn't really mean much when you were just tossing it up there.
Yeah, regardless, it's not really working out for the NFL. But move on for Pro Bowl, not much more to talk about there. Let's talk about the Super Bowl a little bit. And like a lot of y'all said, this is going to be one of the more fun Super Bowls for sure. Both of these teams, only one championship combined between them, the Rams in 99. Bengals have never won before. Also saw an interesting stat about this game as well. Joe Burrow comes in as the most sacked quarterback in the league. Matt Stafford comes in as the quarterback with the most interceptions in the league this year. No quarterback that has ever been the most sacked quarterback has won the Super Bowl in the same year. Only one time has a quarterback that's thrown the most picks won the Super Bowl. That was Eli Manning back in 2007. So historic proportion is going to be all around this game in multiple ways.
I think a major point going into this game, and Toby, every time we talk about football, is can they establish the run? Will Joe Mixon be able to run the ball in this game? I think that will be a major telltale of how this game will go.
And I 100% believe that. I think whoever can really set the run and set the pace of the game could really carry it all through all four quarters.
Also, with Cam Akers on the other side of the ball, Toby, your boy from Mississippi that ended up in Florida State, maybe he can have a big game and show you that he's made of steel and can do it.
I do not want Cam Akers to go over 20 yards next weekend.
You know, when you look at this one, I mean, the battle is going to be in the quarterbacks, but also against two great defenses. You look at the Rams, obviously, they've been a great defense all year. The Bengals, somewhat middle of the pack, but they've really kicked it up towards the end of the year. Got 7 sacks against the Titans to help them pull off that upset. And then against the Chiefs, we talked about it a little bit last week, made them Patrick Mahomes uncomfortable all throughout the second half. It's really – I feel like this is – one of those cases where you have the better team and the hotter team. And I think that's exactly how this game is going to play out in a sense.
The talent, the coaches, the longevity of being in the NFL, the Rams in general, on paper, are a better team. I mean, this year the Jets got blew out by 20 against the Browns, who weren't a very good team. They got beat by the Jets. But like I said last week, the Bengals, they have Joe Burrow. I mean, that's a huge it factor right there, in my honest opinion.
Oh, yeah. No doubt about it. Chuck?
Mike Hilton is about to shut down Cooper Kupp if they just put him on him. Mike Hilton from Ole Miss, best DB in the league. Hottie toddy.
Man, that man loves some Mike Hilton. I respect it. I really do.
Look, now as we move into a little bit of our picks, this is what we're all waiting for. Want to announce something a little bit fun. We put it on our social media earlier today. We're recording this on Monday. This obviously comes out on Wednesday. Getting to do our first giveaway. Excited about this one. Guys, if you haven't, check our social media. You'll find it there. The rules are posted, but winner of this giveaway gets a $25 gift card to whatever you choose it to be. All you got to do, like and follow the page, and then answer the 5 prop bets. So we're going to start there. Let's start with the 5 prop bets, have a little bit of fun on this one. We'll go around the room on this. First one, let's start with this. It, based off the popular prop bets that go around each year, color of the Gatorade shower. Toby, what do you think?
I'm going to go with a safe bet. I think orange. Let's go orange. Orange, yeah.
I'm going to say blue.
I'll go yellow.
Purple.
I'm going to say yellow. I'm going to go with yellow as well. Let's see. Next one is going to be who scores first? Who do y'all have scoring first in a matchup of two really good offenses?
Adam will call it. I think the Rams score first on a defensive touchdown.
Wow. Okay.
I have the Bengals score first.
I'll go the Rams scoring first.
Bengals.
I'm gonna have the Rams scoring first in that one as well. Coin toss, heads or tails. As simple as that. Look, people can bet on anything nowadays. Can we agree to that?
You know, there's an old saying, tails never fails. Give me tails.
I'm gonna go heads.
I go tails.
Tails.
I'm gonna go heads with it. National anthem over under 2 minutes. This is one of the more popular ones everybody jokes about based on how it's performed. What do you got, Toby?
Who's doing it this year?
I'm not sure. I know Eminem's doing the halftime show, but I don't know who's doing it.
It kind of depends on who it is, but I'm feeling risky tonight. Let me take the over on the national anthem this year.
I'm gonna say over 3 minutes.
Oh,
life's too short to bet the under, ain't that right, Chuck?
That's right. So that's my motto. Over.
It's going to be country singer Mickey Guyton.
Who?
Who? That name don't pop up to me. I'm going to say under on that one. And then finally, the winner. We can all get in on this one. And so we got Toby. Who you got winning? Why you got him winning?
I bet against him a little bit. I'm not doing it this time. I'm taking the Bengals. I think the Bengals are going to pull it out. Like I said, I think they're going to open up the game with a defensive touchdown from the Rams. I think it's going to be high scoring, but I think the Bengals get it done. If that offensive line can hold, if they can stop Aaron Donald and that pass rush, I think the Bengals will win it.
Let's clarify this real quick. Based on the pick'em we had going, at the beginning of the playoffs. Toby, you're one game ahead of Garrett for last.
Yes, I do have his pick.
Last place is going to have to jump into the pool here at the quarters in this cold February low weather, and it will be posted on Instagram Live. That's going to be a good one. Did you say you had his pick?
I did. He told me his pick, and I didn't base this on it. I had already chose this, but Garrett did pick the Bengals to win.
Well, guess what? He's going to pick the Rams. I'm picking for him. You're picking that way, Rams, okay. If he wins, y'all tie, y'all both got to jump in. Buzz.
I'm going to play Madden.
No.
I'm going to go Rams. Joe Burrow, he's been great all postseason, but that Rams defense, man, it's Aaron Donald, Jalen Ramsey, Von Miller, man, they got a bunch of dudes, and I got the Rams by a field goal.
I've got the Rams by my X-Factor, Cooper Kupp. He's my MVP of the league, and I believe he's going to go over 150 with at least one touchdown.
He's getting shut down by Mike Hilton, respectfully.
Toby, who did you pick again?
I picked the Bengals.
All right, I want to go Bengals, but I'm fading you. I'm going Rams.
Oh, wow.
Bring the heat. Ben, who you got in this one?
I'm going to go Bengals. Joe Burrow. Like I said earlier, hard to go against, so I'm going to go with Burrow.
Real quick, I'm going to ask y'all before I get to my pick. What do you have about?
I think a little bit like higher scoring. I could see like a 34-31 game, something like that.
I'm going to go 27-24 Rams.
I'm going 34-26 Rams.
3-2 Rams.
Chuck is such a troll. Oh, my gosh.
Alabama, what you got?
28-17 Bengals.
Wow. Okay. I'm gonna roll with the Bengals. And, you know, I roll with the Bengals. Me and Gray talked about it a little bit. I didn't base that off him going Rams. We're tied for first, by the way. We still have to come up with the winner's going to get in that one.
Whoever comes in second has to buy the other guy canes.
I'm down for that. But that seems a little anticlimactic.
Yeah,
I don't know.
maybe y'all can let us know. Maybe Ben can stand for us later. We'll talk about it later. But I'm gonna go Bengals. I originally had the Bengals to upset the Titans. Then I flip it last minute, go to the Titans. Joe Burrow proves me wrong. Then I ride the Bengals in the AFC Championship. It proves me right. I'm not betting against them. I talked about earlier the hotter team against the better team. It seems like in those situations, usually the hotter team is going to win out despite how talented the better team may be. And I think this is going to really come down to, like one of you said earlier, establishing the run. These are two teams that aren't great running the football. Cam Akers shows things here and there. Joe Mixon is inconsistent, very talented, but inconsistent. I think this is really against two really good front sevens and defensive lines. I think it's going to come down to who runs the football, and I think the Bengals with Joe Mixon might have a little bit more of an established ground game, so I'm going to go with the Bengals.
I think, just a quick question. Do you think, let's say, if the Bengals and or Rams win this, do you think that could set up this team kind of being more dominant over the next few years?
I don't know, because you're getting into – for one, you obviously have the contract situation. I think the Bengals have gotten hot. To be honest with you, I don't think they're near one of the most talented teams to win a Super Bowl. They've just gotten incredibly hot. But like I've always said, to win Super Bowls, to create one of these dynasties, so to say, you have to do it while you have a quarterback on a rookie-scale contract. That's what the Bengals have right now, and they have Burrow for 3 more years after this. So maybe they could if they are able to pull this off. But I feel like this might be the Bengals' one chance for quite a while.
So you're kind of riding with the Cinderella story.
So to say. But I'm gonna say Bengals by 5.
Yeah, and that's pretty close to what the experts are saying. 4.5 is what the
Rams are favored.
They are favored. But I think that it's at home, right? But I think
Bengals it's in SoFi Stadium.
Yeah, and I think the Bengals are technically the home team, so the Rams do pick first.
Yeah,
I think they pick the coin toss first.
Yes, yeah. Yes, right. But guys, it's that easy. You can win a $25 gift card just by doing what we did. Take 5 seconds. Make sure to go to our social media at Sports Hour Pod. Enter that giveaway. Ben, you didn't get your picks in. Maybe you can get into the giveaway, win that card. But anyway, now we're gonna move on. MLB lockout. We talked about this one a little bit before, and this has been such a interesting situation because, you know, at one point we hoped this would be resolved quickly. We'd get back to free agency. And now we're staring right down the barrel of baseball not starting in April.
Yeah, and I think pitchers and catchers are supposed to be reporting next weekend, I believe is what it's supposed to be. And, you know, I was hoping – I wanted some kind of smaller lockout. I wanted one for the players. But it just, like, kind of looks now that the owners and the commissioners just kind of locked in, and they don't want to give the players anything. And I don't really understand why, if you're trying to promote the game of baseball, changing it for the fans, for the kids, you're steady and locking them down where now we may not get baseball the entire year. And I don't really understand what that's from the commissioner and the owners.
Yeah, a lot of people that aren't following it closely and looking into it, they're just like getting mad at the players saying they want more money, and that's not the case. They're just the big two things the Players Association wants is to quit the service time manipulation and end blackouts. I know here in Mississippi, I can't watch the Braves, Reds, or the Cardinals here.
How do you think I feel as a Cubs fan, and I get to watch 4 Cubs games a year when they get shown on the worst place to watch baseball?
Well, that's your problem, being a Cubs fan.
I'm a man by himself. I'm surrounded by Cardinals fans and Braves fans, and I don't know, what are you, Mr.
I'm Robert? A Braves fan.
You're a Braves fan. Okay, so I'm
It's been a good few months for you, then, so to say.
Oh, it's been fun. Finally getting the championship back for the Braves. I mean, they consistently make the playoffs. Just could never get them past the Dodgers. The Dodgers are always a problem, and finally got past them. So that was pretty fun this past year.
But, Ben, what's your thoughts on the lockout?
It's a confusing subject to me. We've had a lot of pro players in the Ole Miss facility working out and getting in stuff, hitting, throwing. And they really don't know what's going on either. They're kind of just confused. They don't know when to report. They don't know what's going to happen, when it's going to happen. So it's a bunch of stuff up in the air right now.
You know, Ben had brought it up to us earlier before we started recording that the MLB is no longer going to be testing for steroids after 20 years of doing so. Do you guys feel like this might possibly be a concession of some sort? Like, hey, I mean, I know this is something that has been very divisive at times, and, you know, maybe throwing this on the table, say, all right, let's try to get this thing. Here's a concession. Let's move this thing along.
Well, I got the perfect – in baseball terms, it's a makeup call. The Major League Baseball whiffed on this Cooperstown selection, so they're like, here you go. If you don't want this to ever happen again, here's this concession. Here's this makeup call for you.
I've never done them, and no anybody who's ever did it, but it doesn't help you barrel up a baseball.
You still got to see the ball and hit the ball.
Barry Bonds has been first ballot, in my opinion. He's the best player to ever play.
And I'm right there with you. It's just the fact that I think baseball now is they notice that home runs get you fans. Shohei Ohtani hitting 30-plus bombs gets you fans. And sometimes you have to – and it's kind of crazy to say back in the 90s and 2000s, they had to cheat a little bit to do that. But by cheating a little bit, they saved baseball. They made baseball fun again because the home run race –
But you know, as it saved baseball then, is it still helping baseball now? Because it seems like the excitement, the popularity of the sport is going. You know, we talked about it maybe last week towards the end, how college baseball, I would argue that its fan base is continuing to rise. It's getting much more popular mainstream. Meanwhile, the MLB is dropping. So I don't think it's maybe necessarily a style of play because, you know, at the college baseball level, you still see some teams – not playing the, so to say, lack of better wording, gorilla ball. You see it more in the MLB than you do in college. And I feel like, you know, college baseball's popularity is rising, and the MLB has struggled to grow a new generation of fans.
I've got a conspiracy theory about this steroids thing, and it sort of just came to my mind just a minute ago. What if a mainstream guy like Shohei Ohtani recently tested positive for steroids, and like, if we let this guy go, or he has to sit out a year, we'll lose even more fans. So what if, like, a guy like him or like Mike Trout, not saying that they did, and this probably will never be released, but what if they did test positive for steroids? Like, these guys go out for a year, we're going to lose all these fans. They tested positive. Let's just get rid of the rule in general. It's an archaic rule. Let's just get rid of it.
And, you know, I kind of agree with that because, you know, a guy like Shohei Ohtani, a guy like Ichiro, they're building the market in Japan. Mm-hmm. Guys like Tatis Jr., guys like Vladimir Guerrero Jr., they're building the Caribbean. Like, people are watching them from that area. So if you have that happen where they test positive and they're keeping it hush-hush and you have to sit them out, well, you just lost – you know, 30-40%
of demographic.
Yeah, just lost all of China. You lost Japan. You lost Korea.
Uh-huh.
Where baseball is right now the biggest sport in that area.
You stay up till 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning to watch him play baseball in America because we're 12-13 hours ahead. Now, we're watching the Olympics right now when they're 13 hours ahead of us in Beijing because that's just what we want to do. But in the reverse of them, in China, they're doing the same thing for American baseball.
Yeah, and speaking on like Korean baseball, I don't know if you ever watch Korean baseball, but it is pretty awesome.
You know, I think we're getting to – well, I mean, we're getting to the point where the rubber is going to meet the road eventually and something's going to have to happen because, you know, the owners requested a federal mediator. They obviously want to get this thing done because now we're getting to the point where it's going to start reaching into their pocketbooks.
You know, I don't think you're right. I don't think they want it to be done. If they would have been done, they would have actually brought a real offer to the table instead of just kind of pushing it off, and now you're 3 months into the lockout and nothing's happened.
But they've hired a lawyer. They've hired a mediator.
Okay, so they had to go to a mediator to make a decision.
That's what I'm saying. That's their fault. They shouldn't have... They need to do that together. When you bring somebody else, a third party in, that just makes it more difficult.
Well, that just makes it where the players are like, you don't want anything to do when you're going to bring a mediator in. Yep. He's just going to sit up there and you don't even want to meet with us anymore.
Exactly.
That doesn't make me, as I'm thinking like a player, which I played baseball in high school, but I don't play now. Thinking like now as a player, like if they send me a mediator, you don't want to agree with me.
Yeah.
You just want to push it off and we come to simple terms and we come back at this 10 years from now.
Yeah. It's not going to get any easier. It's only harder from here on out. And that's what's going to suck for not only the players, but for us as just lovers of baseball.
Yeah, I mean, despite, like we said, the game's not necessarily growing right now, I think it'd be hard to argue that people that follow the MLB, that are fans of the MLB, they're much stronger followers than maybe any other sport. I mean, like I said, I have trouble following the MLB all year because 162 games, it's a grind to follow. I mean, the fans are people that live and breathe baseball. So, I mean, for them that are really the ones getting hurt here, I mean, yeah, you have minor leaguers getting hurt that are obviously they're staring down, not seeing one of their major money sources, not making hundreds of thousands of dollars go down the drain possibly this year. But owners and players, I mean, they're going to get hurt, obviously, but not to the extent a lot of other people.
I think when they come to the lockout, the owners were looking at, they didn't make a lot of money last year. But, you know, baseball last year in the major leagues made the most money in the past 10 seasons last season.
Really?
Yes.
Did not know that.
Yes. I think I read a report. I don't remember who reported it, but I did read that.
But the minor leaguers are making $20,000 and having to buy an apartment together and have 10 people living in a room that's this size.
Yeah, and it's just pitiful. Like, yeah. I mean, you don't have to give maybe a single A, double A guy, you know, $150,000 mm-hmm. a year. But when you're sitting there and you're playing 15 years in the minors and you make $30,000-$40,000 a year, that's less than me as coming in as a teacher.
Yeah.
That's just awful.
They did make a new rule, I believe, where they started paying for minor league leagues
for their housing. Yeah, their housing.
Something that's 30 years past due.
Yeah.
Well, there's something that could come good out of this lockout, in my opinion. If it's done the right way, this is a great opportunity for big-time TV providers and channels to get into college baseball. Why not put college baseball games on ESPN, CBS, Fox?
I think you're exactly right.
We discussed that last week.
We talked about this a couple weeks ago. I read a report. I think, I don't know if it was ESPN or something like that, but Fox. I think it was like NBC and ESPN are talking about if the lockout extends that they're wanting to buy the rights to show college baseball.
Well, and you know, Ben, somebody that's around it, I mean, for you, just for me as a fan, you know, I'm not the biggest baseball guy. Football and basketball have always been above baseball for me. But watching college baseball, there's just nothing like it. I mean, there's nothing like it. And that's an experience that a lot of people have never been around because unless you're in the Southeast, college baseball has never just been this tycoon of the sports industry. So getting to spread it to a wider audience, it could do something not only for college baseball, but for the game of baseball that hasn't been done in a while.
And I think I've said this before. I think I was saying on this podcast, but a packed game at Swayze Field is honestly the best atmosphere in Ole Miss. It's just something about it, like going out there on a Saturday afternoon at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, it's 105 degrees outside and sitting watching a four-hour baseball game. It's just incredible.
The Arkansas game we went to last year, you couldn't ask for a better atmosphere than there was.
Should have won
Swayze.
That.
Now, speaking of Ole Miss basketball, or baseball, let's move out of the lockout. Let's move to something that, you know, Ben might know a little bit more about. You know, Ole Miss starts in, I believe, 10 or 11 days, first series at
Charleston
home.
Southern.
Next Friday, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, I mean, Ben, we'll start with a simple question, but, I mean, this is we pretty much know the expectation, but just get your thought. I mean, what is the expectation for this team this year?
Same as every year. It's going to be to make it to Omaha and win a national championship. That's our goal every single year. We think we have a lot of talent. We've got a bunch of really good newcomers. We got a bunch of older guys here. I mean, as you all know, we return every single guy from our lineup. Everyone. We're going to be able to hit. We're always able to hit. But I think a lot of people are questioning pitching, but I'll be the first one to tell you that pitching has been very good. It's been difficult during inter squads as a hitter. Mm-hmm. Our pitchers have good stuff. Their velocity is up 3 to 4 pitches each, and they look really well right now.
Yeah, I know. Obviously, like we said, we're not going to discuss super specifics here because we want people to not know what's coming from the Rebs, and I mean to go and get on everybody that we play. But excited about it because there's a ton. If you follow a little bit of college baseball, know where some of these transfers we're getting in from, along with bringing Diamond back. I mean, you've got three rotation guys right there on the weekend that you know are going to be able to go and win you a game on any given night.
Something I'm pretty curious about, Ben, and we're all from Northeast Mississippi Community College. I play basketball there. Chuck played baseball at Northeast. Peyton, I mean, we've all been at Northeast Mississippi Community College, and you came from Northwest Community College. And how was that jump from junior college baseball to Division I baseball, especially SEC baseball?
I'll say this about junior college baseball, Mississippi, is that it got you prepared. It is the highest level of competition in junior college baseball, I believe, in the country. Every day when I went out there, I'm facing a pitcher that's anywhere from 88 to 94 every single day in JUCO. And as a hitter, that's what gets you prepared because, believe it or not, SEC is about right around the same thing. 88 to 94, you're going to have your average – your once-in-a-few-outings guy that's going to be 96, 97. But, I mean, it's not that big of a jump. It's easy to get used to. Easy is not the right word. It's not easy. It's not easy. It's a grind. But it's not too out of proportion. It's right in there.
And at Ole Miss, you got the nickname Swayze Silverback. Where did that name come from?
That's kind of a funny story. So I think it was my first year here. So my junior season, not last season, but the year before. The year we got into the season because of COVID. And the very first outing, the very first game, we're playing against Louisville. They're the number one team in the country. I think we were top 10. I went out there my first at bat, got a strikeout. My second at bat, I get up there, I hit a double down the right field line in the fifth inning when it's a 0-0 ball game. I got on second, and I didn't even know what to do. I kind of just started hitting my bicep, and I was just kind of freaked out. So I get back in the dugout. Go through the game. We ended up losing the first game that weekend. And then the next morning, Derek Diamond comes up to me. He's like, "Hey, man, when you hit a double, everybody's got a double celebration. Why don't you start beating your chest? Just beat your chest and start yelling." So Saturday comes along. I don't think I played on Saturday, but Sunday comes. And in the seventh inning on Sunday against Louisville, I hit a double in the gap. And I get on second. I just start beating my chest and yelling. And then we ended up winning that game in a tight one in the ninth. And I get on social media and stuff afterwards, and I'm seeing all these things talking about the Swayze Silverback beating his chest.
So we owe that nickname to Derek Diamond then. We can give him sort of the credit for that.
Yeah, Derek Diamond.
One thing I like to ask, too, is that Ole Miss actually brings back one of the best hitting lineups in all of baseball, the return one. How good do you think Ole Miss will be this year defensively, on the defensive side of the baseball? How do you think, maybe in practice watching, how good do you think Ole Miss will be defensively?
Well, you look at it this way, is we're returning every single hitter. Last year, I wouldn't say we were the top in the SEC in defensively. We definitely weren't the bottom. We're probably about average. Well, in most scenarios, your guys are only going to get better defensively. It's hard to get worse defensively, especially at the college level when you're practicing every single day. So I think we're going to have very good defense. I think it's going to be a strong part of our team. I think we're going to have a lot of strong parts this year.
What I'm excited for, really, about this team is – pitching, you bring back Diamond, you bring some guys back out of the bullpen as well. But like I said, every position guy comes back. There's got to be a – I mean, now these guys, y'all have been together 3 years, including the COVID year. There's got to be a special bond with this group.
We're pretty close. Everybody is pretty tight, and of course you're going to have your bickering with guys because that's just what guys do. Everybody's like brothers at this point. But – it's a really good connection. We hang out off the field. We hang out in the locker room. We're always together. Some people would even think it's a cult. Baseball team's a cult just because we're always together. And, it's a really tight bond. I got some really good friendships on the team.
I have a question. I'm a firm believer that Ole Miss has the best uniforms in the country. What is your personal favorite uniform to wear?
My personal favorite. I'm going to get a bunch of crap for this one.
Don't tell me it's the Grays.
Oh, I love the Grays. The way they feel, the fitting of the Grays
okay,
is great.
I can
grays.
At least give you that.
And I'm glad you didn't say the pinstripes.
Hot take. No, that's hot take.
That's hot take. You just said the pinstripes are amazing.
I'm not a fan of the pinstripes either. My favorite's the red.
Powder blue's got to be the best, right?
It is the prettiest, the most uncomfortable.
Okay. Yeah.
Very thick, especially on a, like y'all are talking about, 105-degree day in Swayze. When you're wearing that on a Sunday, it gets hot out there.
Actually, today a buddy of mine, a good friend of mine who's a big Arkansas Razorback fan, he sent me this, and somebody on Twitter, and actually wanted to bring it up, talking about uniforms, is who has the best uniforms in college baseball? And I'm going to ask you to rank these four uniforms. You can be open or whatever. And it's Mississippi State's blacks, UNC's powder blues, Arkansas's creams, and Ole Miss's powder blues.
Well, we're going to go with worst first. Mississippi State's black. They're disgusting. Did you say Arkansas?
Yeah,
their cream. I'll go with their cream third. And I'm obviously got to have the two powder blues in the top two. We're going to have UNC at number two, and ours are definitely number one.
Going back to that, we were sort of talking about Mississippi State a little bit there. Lane Kiffin tweeted on November 26th of 2021, "Good luck in your ball game to Hell State football after we beat them in the Egg Bowl." And there was a certain fellow on Twitter that tweeted back at him, said, "At Duke's Mayo Bowl, sounds like a good landing spot for them." what made you... say something like that to Lane Kiffin.
Might have started a little bit of a social media controversy, maybe just a little
bit. So my whole entire life, I've been a diehard Rebel. My grandfather played golf at Ole Miss, and he was the first golfer inducted into the M Club here. Both of my parents went to Ole Miss. My older brother went to Ole Miss. I have Ole Miss roots. I bleed red and blue, and I've been a season ticket holder for basketball, football, and baseball ever since I could walk. So the rivalry is deep within me. This isn't something as like, oh, this baseball player is talking crap about their rival's football team. It's not like, oh, he shouldn't care. Yeah, I care. This is a rivalry to me. It always has been ever since I could walk, and I saw a chance to take a shot, and it was a fun one. It did stir up some drama. It stirred up some drama.
You know, talking a little bit about this year, you know, you get State at home this year on the Grove Bowl weekend. Lost a tough series to them last year, and I don't know if y'all heard, they won a national championship. I'm sure none of y'all have heard that from anybody.
No, I haven't. No,
you never heard that once in your life. That, I mean, for you guys, is that one of the most anticipated series of the season? Obviously,
we are looking forward to it. I think mainly the reason we're looking forward to it is because we're about to have 14,000 people packed into Swayze every single game. We've got Grove Bowl that weekend. We've got double-decker. The rivalry is big to us, but it's not like we look at this game and we circle it on our calendar. SEC game, every game matters.
Yeah,
right. It's like they're all important. It's not like one's more important than the other. Sure, it's important. It's an SEC West matchup, so you want to win that series for a chance to win the West, chance to win the SEC. But, yeah, we're really excited for it, but we wouldn't look at that and circle it on our schedule. We don't do that for anybody, honestly.
No. Like everybody's the same. Everybody needs to be beat by us, correct?
Correct. Yeah.
Well, Chuck said this too. You just plan to go 1-0 every time you step on the field. I mean, that's just the ultimate goal is to go 1-0 every time you touch the field.
The teams and the people that do that, they're always elite. Doesn't matter what sport. If you flush a loss or you flush a win, you come back the next day and you got to play. What you did yesterday does not matter. It's all about that game that day.
Well, you know, I mean, we look at the season. We start out with Charleston Southern, and let's be honest, that's a team that not a ton of people are going to, just in the general area, have a ton of knowledge of. I don't know if y'all have really scouted them. I mean, what can you tell us about Charleston Southern as an opponent for the first week of the season?
Well, what's interesting about them is, so their head coach now is Mark McMillan, and my first year he was our volunteer assistant. Me and Coach Mack developed a really good relationship, really tight. He actually got on his staff as the, I think, the pitching coach and recruiting coordinator, Anthony Izzio. He's from Mississippi. He was coaching at Pearl River. And so he has brought a ton of Mississippi JUCO guys over there. And so I know a bunch of their team. I know a lot of guys over there. So it'll be fun to see all those guys and for them come to experience Swayze, because I know it's something that they all had in mind when they were growing up playing too, is to be able to play at Swayze one day. So we're excited about that weekend. We know they're going to play tough. Coach Mack is a tough-nosed coach, so I know they'll play hard.
Shout out to Colton Osborne and Houston Parker. Both Mississippi JUCO guys are at Charleston.
They're both at Charleston.
Yeah, Colton Osborne is going to be their Sunday starter, I think.
Really? Did not know that.
Yeah.
Charleston Southern also has a former Reb pitching, Caleb Peel. He's with Charleston Southern now, so he'll get to.
So what I'm hearing is, I mean, this is a talented baseball team. I mean, this is not somebody that You know, some you see some schools schedule a team that, you know, pretty much you're going for a sweep there. And you're obviously always going for a sweep, but this is not a team you expect to walk in and just beat, especially in a sport like baseball.
Right.
But, you know, we were talking a little bit about it before, Ben. There's, I mean, like I said, this is 3 years with this team. Got to have a ton of memories. Tell us a good one. I got to know a good story about this team.
Okay, so my first year here, we were going on a weekend tournament trip to East Carolina, and we flew commercial. We actually fly commercial for the very first road series. We always do one road series, non-conference to open the season. We fly commercial for it. So we flew out to North Carolina, and this plane ride, the turbulence, I don't know. It was bumpy. It was crazy. And we get off of it, and we're all almost like sick. And I get on Twitter, and I look, and our hitting coach, Coach Clement, said, he tweeted out and said, "Well, I got to experience what it's like riding on a Tim Wakefield knuckleball." And I thought that was a pretty funny tweet. And I guess it didn't really affect us. We went out over there and went 3-0. We got a little weekend sweep, so that was a fun weekend. There was one more story about a plane ride again last year. We went to Texas A&M, and not a good weekend for the Rebs. I mean, Texas A&M was one of the bottom teams in the SEC last year, and we lost 2 out of 3. We were flying back, and we were supposed to fly directly into Oxford. Well, there is basically a tornado over Oxford at this point during the year, and so we had to redirect to Memphis. Well, while we're redirecting, we hit all sorts of weather, and I'm in the very back, and I'm sitting beside Cale Baker and Kemp Alderman. And if, as you know, those two guys are big. I'm big. We're the three biggest guys on the team, and we're in the very back of the plane. And, like, we look up front, and all we see is when we're hitting turbulence, guys' heads are flying up and, like, hitting the roof. And, like, all I hear is, I'm not going to lie, I heard some guys crying. And there was some guys sending text messages to their parents saying they don't know if they're going to make it. This was one of the worst plane rides of my life. It was the worst of my life. It was a terrible experience. So we were supposed to, when we landed in Memphis, we were supposed to fly back to Oxford. Coach Bianco said, "No, we're not doing that." We got two buses. They came and picked us up from Memphis and drove us back to Oxford. It was a scary moment, but hearing the stories after, it was really funny.
So that was worse than a knuckleball?
Way worse. I wouldn't know how to describe this pitch.
So talking about that too, you're talking about your trips and stuff. So why is it that Ole Miss always flies commercial on the very first road trip?
I think I don't know this to be true, but I think it's that Coach Bianco wants us to be able to come together as a team, do what – I mean, even professional teams will fly commercial sometimes, not always. They're usually private. But just to be able to experience what commercial is like for one weekend, so we're not too spoiled. I mean, we're going to fly private everywhere else. But I couldn't give you a great answer about that. That's all I got.
Speaking on that too, just real quick, of all the places you've been, all the games you went and played, what is your favorite, other than Swayze Field, your favorite place to go play baseball at? It could be anywhere.
A fun experience. I'm not going to say it was my favorite, but a fun experience last year was opening weekend. We went out to the Texas Rangers brand new ballpark, and that place was crazy. It was incredible out there. Awesome atmosphere, huge stadium. Just, you felt like a big leaguer on that field. But I think the best place to play a game at, and y'all might knock me for this one, but Duty Noble Field on a Saturday, when it was their big weekend, they had 15,000 there, and that place was unreal. And what made it so much better is this Saturday is when Doug Nikhazy went in there and he threw a one hitter.
Oh, that was awesome.
Look, and that's the thing, we knock we like to have our fun with state, but you can't deny they've got a great experience over there. You talk about it, the SEC West just in general, and four teams I'm naming off: Ole Miss, Mississippi State, Arkansas, and LSU have four, maybe the best four college baseball experiences on an SEC weekend.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. And this year I get to finally experience Arkansas and LSU. Mm-hmm. So that's two awesome places I get to go this year. And I'm excited for those two. I've heard nothing but good about those places. And obviously their fans are going to get into us because they love heckling us.
Speaking on that, I'm actually getting to go to Fayetteville this year. My buddy texts me where I'm going. So I'm really – it's the first time I get to see Ole Miss outside of Oxford, Mississippi in a baseball game. So I'm really excited to see that and hopefully come out with the win because, you know, really we're thinking about – I know it's pretty far in the schedule, but that could have number one implications. that series. It's a very important series, really the whole schedule this year. Whoever could really win between Mississippi State, LSU, Arkansas, Ole Miss, that team could really be number one going all the way into regional, super regional, and Omaha time.
Not to jump the gun or anything there, Tevin.
I'm not trying to jump the gun. I'm just saying.
I've got one more question. It's not really a really important question, but it's important to the player and himself. Walk-up song this year. Do you have any ideas what that might be?
Yeah, I already selected it. It's "You Make My Dreams Come True" by Hall & Oates.
That's awesome.
I think we know the intro song for this one. I may have to.
You may have to figure out how to do that.
That'll be fun. But you know, there's really only one more thing. You're talking about Coach Bianco. What you know the how he you know y'all fly commercial stuff like that, wanting to build a bond with the team. You notice as a fan watching with Coach Mike, he just seems like a guy that. You know, every player has a special bond with. He seems like just such a great guy to play for.
Yeah, he really cares about his players. He goes the extra mile for us, and if you get your opportunity and you prove something to him, he's going to have a little faith in you, a little more trust in you, and that's something I've liked about him. I've enjoyed playing for him, and this is my last year playing ball, and I couldn't be doing it at a better place.
Real quick, too, what has Coach Bianco been really like saying during the off season to get him toward practice? What has been like his number one thing he's been telling you guys?
We got better today. That is the number one thing I've heard actually for the past 3 years. When we go out there and we work and we have a good day of practice, we got better today.
Okay, I just heard it. I gotta say, I said Bianco, you said Bianco. I hear a 50-50 split. It seems like with the base. Who is it? Chuck and Ben. Which one
is Bianco?
Bianco. So you're wrong. I'm right. That's what we got here.
Okay. Sorry, Coach.
Oh man, but no. I mean, I don't. You know, guys, this has been fun. I don't. Ben, you said one more thing. This is just more about you. You said you're done after this year. What's your plans after this year, man?
Got a few job opportunities. Not gonna really get into it. I'm gonna start my life. See what the real world's all about. I've enjoyed playing baseball throughout my whole entire career. I mean, I don't know, what is this going on? 17, 18 years of playing ball. It's been incredible. It's a passion for me, and coaching could be down the road for me. I love coaching. I've coached a bunch of little kids, and it's a passion for me and something I'll probably keep around with me the rest of my life.
So you're thinking like minor leagues, that sort of system's not out of the woods yet, but you don't necessarily know you're playing it day by day?
No, that's out of the woods. I've decided after this year I'm hanging it up. And I guess this is the first time I've publicly come out and said it, but yeah, that's what's happening.
Breaking news. There we go. We got breaking news.
Got it.
Once you do it for so long, you just get tired of it. I can understand where that's sort of coming from, because we played against each other when we were like 9 years old, and you've been doing this longer before that. So I mean, 22 now, 23 years old.
Yeah, I'm 22, and yeah. It's not. I wouldn't say that I'm tired of it. It's just at some point you know when it's time.
Right.
You know when enough's enough.
The knees start getting heavy.
Yeah, the body starts aching every day. Getting out of bed, it's like I got to do this today. Yeah, but you know when it's time, and I think it's time for me, but I'm more than excited for this season. I'm ready to put it all on the line for this last year.
Prediction, what do you think is going to happen this year?
I mean, I can't say anything less than Revs winning it all.
I agree. I think this team really coming off last year, I think Ole Miss has the best opportunity since that, I think it was the year before last where COVID shut down, to really, really go all the way, and I think this team could do it. Especially from what I've heard,
I'm extremely
practice.
Excited for this on this baseball season.
From what I've heard, because we're all Miss students, we've all got a little bit of the insight. It's really, really building up some momentum. That there's an atmosphere building. Mm-hmm. That something's going to happen. It's going to be really special this year.
No doubt about it. But guys, I think that's about going to do it. Ben, thank you so much for being with us. It is fun. It's really nice talking to you, man.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. And just one more thing, coming from Lane Kiffin himself, for this baseball season, get your popcorn ready.
Yeah.
There you go. Speaking of that, Friday, February 18th, 4 p.m., Being Swayze for this team, being Swayze for Ben. It's going to be, like we've all said, it's going to be a heck of a year. This is going to be one you're going to want to follow alongside the rest with.
I'm going to get to be there on that Sunday. I'm really excited to watch him.
I plan on being there all 3 days of the weekend.
I would love to be there, but my job says I can't.
I plan on being there every single game.
Yeah. Man, Chuck, you're devout. I mean, I'll give you that.
Are you going to be the guy this year catching the ball off the net?
I'm not. Speaking of, we tried to get Blaine on here one time.
Didn't he go 43 for 43?
Yeah, he snagged one off of Arkansas's manager one day, too. Yeah,
made top 10, didn't he?
He did. He made ESPN top 10. He did.
I think,
Sports Center top 10.
it was pretty cool. We watched them, and I was always wondering why people were cheering. Then I started watching, and I was like, this is pretty cool.
1,000 fielding percentage. You can't get much better than
that. Can. Give that man a gold glove.
But, guys, I think that's about going to wrap it up for us. It's been a fun one. Thank you for so much for listening alongside us. Again, want to shout out our social media, at Sports Hour Pod on Twitter and Instagram. Make sure you're following there. In our giveaway that ends at Saturday at midnight, so make sure you enter in by then. It's free money. It's free money, basically. All you got to do, enter in, place a comment, and you're ready to go. But, guys, before we part, any last words?
I'm so ready for college baseball, and I'm so ready for Major League Baseball if we can get it. I think this year is going to be fun, not only for Ole Miss, but in baseball in general. It's going to be a fun year. I think there's something building all throughout, especially with these rankings that's coming out. And there's not really a consensus number one this year, and I really like that.
I'm ready for the boom of college baseball this year. I feel like there's going to be a growth in college baseball this year that we hadn't seen in a long time because of the problems with the Major League Baseball. I feel like this year's going to be amazing for college baseball.
Yeah. Go Rebs!
Just want to say thank y'all for having me again. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, absolutely. And we'll have to have you back during the season at some point. But for everybody else, I'm Peyton Taylor saying so long, God bless, and thanks for listening along. We'll see you guys next week.